Well, we come to Genesis chapter 12, one of the most important chapters in all the Bible. And I refer to it as the covenant calling. The covenant calling. And I do want to read this particular passage tonight because it's just too important not to. And you'll understand why I say that here in a few moments. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your Shem, your name, great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all of the families of the earth will be blessed." God calls a man named Abram. And that name means exalted father. And his descendants, specifically his family lineage, and he's a descendant of Shem, are going to be the guardians of the good name of God. Through their relationship with God, the world is going to learn to trust God's name. I used to coach high school football, and I was a lineman coach. And I've used this illustration many, many times. But as a lineman coach, especially working with freshmen, sometimes I would literally have to take the young men and physically put them in the position that I wanted them in order to teach them a correct stance. Now, in doing so, obviously, I could usually only work with one player at a time. But as I worked with that one player, as I called that team member out from amongst the group, what happened to the rest of the group? They stood and they watched. As they saw this young man learn what I expected, what I wanted, then they also learned a lesson. What kind of a pathetic coach would I be if I only wanted one of my linemen to know how to play the game right and to get into the correct stance? Guys, that's what God did with Israel. That's what God did with the children of Abraham. It wasn't that God was saying this family is better than every other family. In fact, quite the opposite. But in calling them forth and showing him his faithfulness, even when they were unfaithful, over and over again, what was the lesson the rest of the world learned? God is faithful. God can be trusted. Even when they're punished and they're dispersed, he's still faithful to them. That's the kind of God I want to serve. Well, God comes to Abram, this exalted father, and he makes him four great promises. The first, he says, "I'm going to give you a promised land." A promised land. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but that is a very important promise because it points to an eternal inheritance showing God's desire to once again dwell with men. I want you to think about that. There's a lot of things that God could have done for Abraham and his family. Why, through Scripture, over and over and over again, does God say, "This promise, this land is yours, it's yours forever"? Eternal. By the way, is there anybody here that does not understand the definition of forever? Let me stress it for you. Forever. Now maybe you understand. Much more helpful, correct? Forever means forever. Why is that so important? Why does it keep coming up? Because in that promise, we see God's heart to someday dwell again with humanity. He wants to take us back to the garden. Secondly, God says, "I'm going to make you into a great nation." Providentially and miraculously being brought forth by God. Why did it have to be miraculously? Because Abraham and Sarah couldn't have kids. You say, well, why did God keep choosing barren people? So that the rest of us would watch and know the miraculous nature of God, that whom God calls, God equips and he blesses. And as we see God call Abram, this exalted father, and give him a son even in his ripe old age, we can begin to trust in a God who does the impossible. Third, God says, "I'm going to give you a great name." Guys, there is no greater honor than being used to bring the world the knowledge of the one true God. You know, when you walk into a place, if someone mentions your name, people are going to have a reaction, whether they say it out loud. Your name evokes a response, and it's either good or it's bad. When the name Abraham is mentioned, immediately we think of the most faithful man in human history. That's a great honor. His name is honored as the father of our faith. That's an incredible thing. And that's what God calls you and I to do. God promises to make our name great. Number four, that God says, I'm going to give you a great blessing to all the world that's going to come through you. And that promise is the coming Redeemer Messiah who would come from his family. Of all the lineages, of all the families, of all the names that he could have chosen, this is the family that is going to bring forth the Redeemer Messiah who's going to bring us home. Now guys, why is this so important? Well, this next line should explain it. Because this promise is the definition of salvation. And I'm going to go way out on a limb here. If your definition of salvation is different than what God promised Abraham, your definition of salvation is wrong. Don't believe me? Go read the Apostle Paul. Over and over and over again, Paul defends our salvation as coming from, not the law, but the promise. What promise is he talking about? These four promises we just read. This is the definition of what he wants to do for you. To dwell with God forever in his kingdom. In a holy land, in a holy kingdom. To be a nation of priests. You know, in 1 Peter, Peter uses the very same terminology and applies it to the ecclesia, the called out assembly of the redeemed, that God used to describe Israel when they stood at the base of Mount Sinai. And describe them as the called out ones. And Peter says, you are a nation and a kingdom of priests. To receive a new name. I love Revelation 2:17, where Jesus promises that in the kingdom, he's going to lean over and he's going to whisper a name that is only going to be known by him and by you. And it's going to be his name for you. You know what that is? That's a pet name. That's an intimate name. That is an amazing thing that God says, you and I are going to have, I'm going to have a name for you that is going to be unique and special, and the only people in all of the universe that are going to know it are going to be you and me. That's incredible. That's intimacy. God says, I'm going to make your name great. To experience all the blessings of the Messiah. Guys, this is salvation. This is what we're hoping for.